zero fear of doing it wrong. I mean, I'm like, here, I'll do that. He goes, no, I got it, Dad. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but I could. He goes, no, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Family man. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott, the sun is shining. It looks to be a beautiful day here in northern Indiana. Summer is here. It's warm and blue sky, and it is glorious. But even, I don't know if you feel this way, Scott. But I do. Maybe it's because I'm old. You know how old people always look at the, not the bright side of things, but the dark side of things. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just your normal bent, Scott. But you know how you kind of go, oh, it's a beautiful summer. Summer's here, but it won't be long before it's gone and it's cold again. I kind of feel that. And I know it's terrible because I'm afraid I'll miss the good stuff. Worried about all the shortness of the good stuff. So. Anyway, is it nice down there?
We just have the winged demonic creatures flying all over the place attacking
us. That's awesome. I wish we had them.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I haven't seen one, not one. My wife said she saw one little bug thing. But, I mean, they're everywhere now.
They're swarming. Yeah, it's not terrible in my yard, but it's not good either. Yeah. And there are areas, though, where I've been driving around where it's like they're just attacking people's cars and they're everywhere. And I had to get out of my car the other day delivering pizza and walk to this building that was about 50 yards from where my car parked, and they were just all over me, and I'm like swatting at them and trying to
really that is awesome. I wish they'd come here, because that's kind of a cool experience. I mean, I remember that as a kid, and that was way more than 17 years ago. So your kids are experiencing something really cool to talk about forever.
There's been a number of car crashes due to these things.
Really?
I almost witnessed one that was this dude turning in a big truck. I was at the stoplight and he was turning in front of me, and the cicada flew right through his open window and almost hit him right in the face, and he like swerved and like but he managed not to crash.
Wow.
But I heard on the news there was at least one or two other ones that have actually crashed because
of that. Think they're doing this on purpose?
The cicadas? Yes.
You think it's kind of like, here he comes.
We'll get them. Yeah.
Take him, Tommy. Take him.
Oh, mercy.
I don't know. I wish we had them. I really do, because I think that'd be kind of cool.
And the smell, too. There's this lovely smell as they die.
I've heard that. I don't remember that as a kid.
Yeah, that's gross. And a couple of them have gotten into our house. I think they're getting in through some sort of vent or some other hole. I don't know. And our one cat, though, is finally earning his keep because...
Oh, yeah, he gets them?
He gets them, and it's great because you hear one, and it's like a chirp or two, and then the cat goes on high alert, and then a minute later, you hear this thing, like, shrieking because the cat's got it and is just playing with it before it kills him.
Because if you grab one, they're like holding one of those joy buzzers. They kind of go in your hand.
I don't grab them. I kill them, or I leave them alone.
See, that would be so impressive if you just like pick him up with your hands and bite off his head with your teeth.
I thought about stabbing one with my pocket knife, but then I just thought that would probably be cruel.
No.
But I did think
they don't feel anything.
I remember as a kid having a badminton racket and just going out in the backyard and just playing like
whacking them.
Cicada tennis with them, you know?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I haven't done that this time.
That's awesome. You're just making us all long for those happier cicada days.
I bet that no one is longing for
I am. I bet you. Oh, you. I bet you there's at least 50 dads out there right now who would love to come and to Cicadaville. Yeah. You should do like a Jimmy Buffett Cicadaville song. You could do it, Scott, if anybody could.
They did. I always remember when I was a kid, when they were really bad, there was Snappy Tomato Pizza was a local I don't know if it was a local thing or a national thing, but anyway, there was this pizza
Snappy chain. Tomato pizza.
Yeah, they delivered pizzas, and so they were, you know, fast delivery, all that. And they had this little, like, barbershop quartet kind of song, like, jingle for the thing, for their commercial, and somebody did a spoof of it and did Snappy Cicada Pizza, and it caught on. You could probably still find that song, Snappy Cicada Pizza, but it's really cute. It's like, snap, snap, snap. Cicada pizza, and then they go into the four-part harmony and all that.
And you remember this from being a kid?
I do remember that. Oh, yeah. It's one of those things. That and Jenny's phone number, 867-5309. If I ever have Alzheimer's, I will remember those two things. Everything else may be gone, but you can
you look on Jenny's YouTube phone number. On YouTube right now is Snappy Tomato Pizza's jingles right now.
There you go.
Cicada's... Cicada pizza, snappy cicada, snappy pizza tomato. So I think you should let us all listen to that at the end of the show.
We're going to get in trouble.
Oh, snappy tomato. They may not even be in business. Oh, there's a new snappy new snappy cicada pizza video for 2021. There is a snappy tomato pizza. We'll
put the link in the notes or something. People can go look at it themselves.
Well, that's no fun. Like Snappy Tomato Pizza's out. Do you think they're out there looking for?
No, but some dork on YouTube that made the spoof video is going to want to get paid for it by us.
You have too much to worry about, young cicada. Okay. Well.
Anyway, that's enough about cicadas.
People go look at the Snappy's tomato thing. You can watch it yourself. Scott's not going to let us watch it.
I love how I get blamed for this.
Well, it is your fault. Well, I can't do too much chit-chatting here, Scott, because I got to leave here in a few minutes. Well, not a few minutes, but I got to leave here within 40 minutes to go pick up a Millennium Falcon Lego set with my son, Caleb. Who's 15. Yesterday, we picked up the giant Millennium Falcon set, which he paid $700 for, but he's selling it. He's selling it for a profit. And so my son, Cal, he's a huge Lego fan. I mean, he knows all the numbers, like, oh, that's set number 600, and that's got a whatever piece in it. And I said, Cal, hey, if you're going to do this, you're going to need to, you know, why not turn it into a money-making thing? And so he's selling his first set, the big one, and he's buying one today from a school teacher in Poughkeepsie or wherever, and he's going to try to make some money at it. So he's going to get in the Lego resale business.
Are these used sets he's selling?
The one that he's buying now is a used set. The one he bought yesterday was a box that had been opened, but the pieces boxes, because it comes, you know, it's got huge. Are you looking at me on the monitor? I mean, these huge boxes that comes with four boxes inside. They're all sealed with a special Lego tape. And so that drives the price up. I mean, he keeps track of this. So
my son's got a bunch of them that he's done. We have the finished Millennium Falcon. I don't know if he'd want to part with it or not, but if he
could
make some money, he might.
Cal's gonna be, so if I'll just make this to anybody who's got some kids wanting to get rid of their Lego, Cal's in the market. You know, he's not going to give you the premium price, but he'll give you a fair price, and he's going to try to turn around and sell some of it. But his first one was like, I'm like, Cal, you know, when you spend $700, which is like all your money, that's a lot in one basket here. You wonder if it doesn't sell. Cause he was looking at this one that was like an Eiffel Tower, and they sell for over $1,000. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And he'll tell you it's the biggest, it's got the most pieces, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, but it's, you know, somebody's used it. They don't sell as quickly because the Lego fans, they like them unopened. I mean, I don't know why. They want to buy one unopened and then they want to keep it unopened so they can say, this has never been opened, you know?
Yeah.
And they pay a huge premium dollars, so. So if you got some Lego out there that you want to sell, we'll put him in touch with my son, Cal. So he's in the Lego business. But, you know, I was just thinking about that, Scott, kind of letting that be our direction, because it is a pain. You know, like yesesterday, Cal said, man, I made $100 today. I didn't have to do anything. And I'm like, I drove 3 hours total My gas to go get your thing. I said, I'm willing to do that for the first couple, but we're going to have to rein them in a little bit, you know, so they're not so far away, or, you know, have to do it online. So they come, you know, they send them to you.
My boys have decided they're investing in Dogecoin, like Bitcoin, but another version, whatever. I don't know how familiar you are with these things, but they decided the other night, they're like, Dad, we want to do a Dogecoin. Can we have $10? And I was like, no.
That's right. I'm thinking about starting our own.
Well, Luke signed up and did his thing, and then Will wanted to do it, but since he's under 18, he needed my information to sign up. And I'm like, have you watched these things? And I like pulled up the screen to show him like how much the value of this stuff has fallen in the last month and then in the last, you know, year. And
we could have a whole show on this, you know, of like, there is nothing there. Yeah. You cannot hold it in your hand. Like, you cannot put it in your pocket.
As long as you understand you're about to spend $10, not making anything with this.
But I think that's really cool. I mean, I just think that's what dads are supposed to do. We're supposed to encourage our kids, you know, not just give them free rein, of course, but, you know, with guidance, we're helping them even as they lose or fail, you know, for future things. I just think that is so important, because I'm seeing it pay off, Scott, with my kids. You know, this is, we're hoping maybe this week or this next week, Ike and Carolyn, you know, they bought the house across the street. They've been working on it. I mean, they're finishing. They're really, I would say these are the finishing touches to move in. Not finishing touches like all the trims in, but I mean, the tile floor in the bathroom went down yesterday. The tub's in, you know, they're ready to put the toilet on. So it's going to be working. The kitchen cabinets are all in. They're still being painted. The drywall's all done and painted. They're going to be putting the rest of the flooring in. And it's going to be an amazing house. And I'll tell you what's super, super cool is that they've basically done most of it without me. I mean, Ike's done all the electrical, and he's done an amazing job, the plumbing, an amazing job. And his brother, Abe, I mean, Abe was over there yesterday, and I helped him. We were doing the tiling together, and I was kind of cutting him on a saw, and he was, but I mean, zero fear of doing it wrong. I mean, I'm like, here, I'll do that. He goes, no, I got it, Dad. And I'm like, oh yeah, but I could. He goes, no, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And so, you know, and for a father's heart, it just is such an amazing thing to watch your kids do that. I mean, even like Ben's getting his pool ready. And you remember we talked 2 years ago, Ben did a huge project. I mean, he took somebody else's in-ground or above ground pool and their 40 by 40 deck, took it from their yard, brought it to his house, reassembled it a little different fashion, and now has a 40 by 40 deck with a swimming pool in the center of it. And I didn't help one stitch. And it's amazing. Even Ben's just finished up. He lives, of course, right next door, and he's got a house that's even a little older than ours. So it's about 120 years old, maybe. In the basement, it's one of those, I don't know what your basement looks like, Scott, but my basement is one of those.
My basement looks about like your barn right there.
Is that it?
Except it's messy.
Yeah, well, this is Ike's stuff. This is Ike's amazing. This is all his doings. You can see those piles of 3D printed things. Ike is like selling amazingly. I mean, just, he's an amazing kid, but he's selling, you know what an AirTag is? It's new.
Things or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, fine. Well, they were advertising, like putting them in backpacks so you could find your backpack. And his wife said, well, what about you if you put it on a dog collar, you know, so you knew where your dog was. And so Ike has sold gobs of these things. You can find it on Etsy. Just type in AirTag and his will probably come up. It was coming up at first. Just type in AirTag on Google and it would come up. But so his both of our houses are, you know, when they put in the basement, they weren't thinking rompous room. They were thinking cellar. You know, there was no heating. There was no, so you didn't have ducts. You didn't really have any pipes. So when they added all those things, it puts it all real low. You know, so you're, you know, in my house, when I go in the basement, I have to duck my head several times just to get around the pipes. But in his house, he's got this one space. It's probably like, I don't know, 20 by 15. It was kind of low. And he's like, Dad, I think I'm going to put a a media room, you know, a big TV room down there. And I'm like, oh yeah, that'll be cool. And I was skeptic, but he and his brothers worked on it, and it is amazing. It is amazing. You know, it's got a big screen on the projection hanging from the ceiling and the big speakers, and they did an incredible job. It's got the mood lighting. It's really an amazing thing. But just to see your kids do that, and even my son, Sam, you know, he's the one who bought a $11,000 house, and it's small, and but they added on this past year. They poured almost a brand new section concrete and built a huge deck above it. And they're kind of finishing out that now. But I just think, you know, that it's our jobs as dads, not to necessarily give them all the skills, because I don't think we can give them all the skills. I remember when you worked with your son on replacing your brakes, you know. I mean, I don't know if you passed along that mechanical skill that you have, Scott. But I think what you pass along is of being willing to try it. Is a huge, huge thing, because I know lots of people who are afraid of trying anything. You know, they're afraid to do anything because, you know, they've been told probably by their dads, oh, you can't do that. Oh, no. You can't do that. But, you know, when you change the brakes on your car, your son saw, you know, he never wants to do that again, but he also saw that it's possible, you know, that you can do it. You don't have to have, my dad used to constantly say to me, all the time, you know, he'd be doing something, fixing something on his car. Like, we'd replace the transmission. And we never replace the transmission. It's huge. You have to jack the car up like super high. But he'd say, you know, they're not any smarter than I am. And I just, that always kind of made a huge impression on me. And even now, you know, when with YouTube and everything, you can fix things. But I think the most important thing is teaching your sons and daughters to not be afraid to do it, to be fearless. Not you know, that we can do those things. I just think it pays off hugely because, I know other kids who are super capable. They could do it, but they're scared to death. They're just afraid to do anything because they're afraid they're going to mess it up.
Man, my son can eat a whole bag of popcorn by himself.
That's why everybody loves you, Scott.
Builds a house by himself. I'm like, my son can eat a pizza all by himself, extra large.
I can shove almost half of it in my mouth at one time. Well, you know, and two, I just think, I mentioned last week that my sons and really all my kids we've started this new podcast, you know, The Wonderful World of Disney Plus, which if you haven't listened, you should listen. And, you know, I'm doing it not so we can reach 10 billion people and none of that, you know. I'm doing it because it is a family unity thing. It is just something that we can gather around and do together as a family. And we talk about it. And I just think it is so cool because, you know, really the truth is probably we're not all going to start family businesses together. You know, we're going to start, and I know dads who have, and we have. But I just think it is something that is so cool to do with your adult children, you know, and they include me. And I think that's really fun. But I don't think that happens on its own. I wonder sometimes if we as dads need to be the instigators of doing those things and to do them now, you know, even if you've got little kids, you know, to involve them in all your little activities or big activities. And I know it's a pain. Because it is, you know, when I think about some of my not as old kids, it's a pain to have them involved because they complain and then you have to spend, you know, half your time just telling them why they have to. Why do I have to? I don't know how, you know, as opposed to just doing it yourself. But I think it pays off huge dividends in the long run to do that. Still there, Scott?
Yes.
Are you watching that snappy cicada pizza thing?
No, I'm here. Okay. I'm just thinking, oh, I complain too much when I involve my kids.
Well, it is a pain. It is a pain.
I'm afraid
parenting is hard.
Training them how to complain about stuff.
Well, you know, and again, if you ever think you're the only one you know, who
just call me.
call Scott. They should do a snappy tomato pizza commercial jingle with Scott. Maybe we should, Scott. Oh, I bet, you know, Howard, he's my songwriting listener, buddy, family man. Howard, see if you can do a jingle with Scott in there. So he'll probably come up with something by tomorrow. But so last night we met some friends, old friends, at a kind of a pizza kind of place, Harvey Hinkelmeyer's. I asked my wife, I go, hey, where are we meeting? And because it was about an hour in between our houses. She goes, oh, we're meeting at Harvey Hinkelmeyer's. I'm like, of course. You know, what is a Harvey Hinkelmeyer's? Well, we pulled in and it's kind of one of those restaurants that's been there forever. Even though I guess they've got like a couple different locations now, but they serve everything. I mean, you want Italian, they've got Italian. I had a breaded tenderloin, you know, like they make in the Midwest, Indiana, you know, county fair. And tater tots, you know, but you can get a taco, they cover everything you could possibly think of. And it was mostly farmers all talking about fishing, you know, as their customers. But I don't even think they have a jingle. So I don't know. I'll check that one out. But, you know, we just met with some friends that we've known. My wife has known them. She went to high school with her and I've known them really, all our not married and dating life. And we don't see each other very often. I think it's been a couple of years since we really saw them and talked to them. But it just feels, and you've talked about this, you know, when you get together with someone that just, you have that deep friendship and, or maybe that history together, you know all the same people, you know those old stories, and it just feels instantly like it's just easy. But, you know, their kids are grown, our kids are growing up, and they have adopted a couple younger children and they still have a teenager. And it was just talking about that parenting's not easy. You know, at all stages, it's just not easy. And it just felt good to be talking with parents who feel the same way. And the truth is all us parents feel the same way. So all that to say, dads, again, you're not alone. You know, you think your kids are making you nuts. It's not true. Or that the things feel so weighty because they do. She was saying, the wife was saying, and I don't know if you have felt this, Scott, maybe you feel the relief of it because you were talking about your daughter, you know, when she's married and you're like, not my problem anymore. But that's not totally true, you know, because all of a sudden now, and maybe you don't feel it now because, you know, they're young and in love, but I know that it hurts a parent's heart when you think, oh, they're struggling. And it feels very, very weighty. I mean, that's the only bad part of having, you know, all your kids around you too. It's not a bad part. It's all amazing. But, you know, when my son Ben says, oh, the car's not running, and then I stress out about his car not running, you know, or I worry about Sam's furnace not doing what it's supposed to, or Ike's thing not doing. And so it just feels you take them all in to your own heart, and that can feel overwhelming sometimes.
What's weird to me is that I'm able to categorize things that they're stressing about, and like there's this big category I have of, oh yeah, that's just married life, get used to it kind of thing. I don't say that
right.
There's a lot of stuff where it's like it feels big to them, but I know it's not because I've been through it, you know. And it's like, oh yeah, that's just part of getting to know each other, you know?
Exactly. And that's really a good thing, I think. We have a relative who had really a hallmark kind of meeting her spouse and the wedding. And it could have been a Hallmark show because it was just so God was in the midst of it. But, you know, you hear little snippets, you know, a month after the wedding. And there are these little things you think, oh, they don't include those in the Hallmark part. Because really, once you cross that line, the Hallmark, how you met, that fades away, you know, and you deal with real life things and things you didn't anticipate. And it's normal, but it doesn't quite play out the same way.
Well, you know? The good thing about that stuff is that when other people notice that, they're like, oh, they're like me. They're not the Hallmark perfect people. They're normal. And like, we might actually get along.
Right, right.
Instead of thinking, oh, sure, they have it all easy, you know?
Yeah. And it is.
No one has it all easy.
No one has it all easy. Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, I don't know if you're, are you as prone to believing that as your wife would be prone to believing that?
That everyone else has it all easy, or that some people do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You are?
I am. I mean, but that's the thing I've learned over the years, that if I just observe for another minute or two, I'll notice something and realize, oh, exactly. I might want to just keep my own problems. You know, if I had to exchange them with somebody else.
Yeah.
I usually come away going, I'll probably just stick with my problems. They stink and I like to complain about them, but I don't want to deal with that. You know?
Cause I mean, I think I know my wife is maybe more prone to believing that, thinking, oh, that they have it, you know, they've got it under control. So I don't know. Even we were talking last night, you know, just about video games and, you know, how it just drives all parents, really. If you have that teenage, it just, either you've given up and you don't care anymore because it's just, what's the use? This is never going away. Or you're just this constant, this battle, you know? And they were saying that they started saying, okay, you can't just play it all the time. You have to earn these. You earn, you know, by obeying or by doing or whatever, you earn some video time. And so the kids are like, okay, I was good. Did I get 5 minutes there? You know, and they're like, no, you didn't. Can I spend my 5 minutes now? I'll take my 5 minutes now. And then, you know, and it just is constant. And I'll let you know though, I've been surprised because, you know, we do a video game free summer and my kids have not complained 1 ounce. I mean, I thought they would. I was even shocked. I'm like, man, we're like 9 days into this and I haven't even heard them say anything. And it's worked out really, really well. And again, we don't know how this is going to, we may not go back, but they don't really know that. So we'll see.
Well, maybe we should talk about this next time. But I was just thinking that, you know, you're talking about teenagers and dealing with their things. And man, I am finding it so necessary to hold back with my teenage boys at this point, sometimes where I want to tell them everything and correct them on everything. And they hit that age where it's just like, they're starting to become who they're going to be.
Right.
And they don't want to be told how to do things. And I realize that like maybe the time's passed for some of those things I got to just trust that God will take care of it. And I need to ease off for the sake of the relationship. Does that make sense?
How about we do that? I just wrote that down, Scott. Right. So hopefully I won't forget that. And how about we talk about that? Then we'll listen to Howard's song about Scott and do that next week. So, Dad, have a great week. If you're battling the cicadas, keep up the good fight. If you want some cicadas in your life, head down to Scott's neck of the woods. Or maybe just check out the Cicada Pizza song at the Snappy Tomato Pizza something on YouTube. Anyway, have a great day. Don't forget, you to Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. Stand up, you may think it's hard to think the way I am, but it's a godly thing to be a family man. A family man. A family man. A family man.
Okay, I gotta go. I'm gonna listen to the Snappy Pizza thing and then I'm gonna take off.
All right.
Oh, here they are. Okay.
See ya.
See ya. Can you hear it?
Yeah. That's it.
Tons of them. Yeah. I don't know. That's Ike in the background. He's talking. There you go. The snappy tomato pizza thing.
Snappy cicada pizza.